All right, Shabbos, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Samech Vav. We are picking up on the bottom of Samech Hei Amud Beis. Yehuda v'chizkiya ta'omim heim hayu. So remember again, 2, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom. Actually, let me just get to one thing here. I'm sorry, just before we start. Right, 2 seconds. Okay, so remember again, we were in the middle of the sugya speaking about whether or not women are obligated in period of rivia. Are women chayavos in procreation? So remember again, we had a machlokes in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka said that women are chayavos in period of rivia. It was on Amud Beis, I'm sorry. And the Tanakama says that women are not, only men are chayav. And again, each one brought their particular proofs. And the Gemara now tells a story. Yehuda v'chizkiya ta'omim hayu. Yehuda and Chizkiya were twins. So what happened? So we'll say, leaving aside how this was known or what was known, they were twins. One of them apparently formed at a faster rate. So one of them was ready to come out at the end of 7 months. Chazal take the approach in the Gemara that yoledes l'shiva, yoledes l'mekutan, that if a woman were to give birth at the end of 7 months, she'd be okay, the baby would be okay. So it's interesting from Chazal's perspective, which was reflective of their contemporary, you know, views on medicine, giving birth at the end of the 7th month or the 9th month was safe. 8th month was not safe. So Yehudin Chizkiya, one of the boys, finished forming at the end of 7 months. One of the boys finished forming at the end of 9 months. So what happened? Yehudis Devisu Rabbi Chiya Havilei Tsar Leida. So we'll say their mother was Yehudis, who was the daughter of Rabbi Chiya, had a very, very difficult pregnancy. So what happened? Now she gave birth to these two boys, Yehuda and Chizkiya, and she has decided she does not want to have any more children. So what does she do? This is very interesting. Shanai mana. She changed her clothing. Ve'asya lekamei de Rabbi Chiya. And he went ahead and she went to Rabbi Chiya. Amra, she said, now remember, she goes to Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya is her husband. So she goes to Rabbi Chiya, she's asking him the Shaila. But she doesn't want him to know that it's her. Because again, obviously, if it's his wife is asking him a Shaila about whether or not she needs to have more children, so that impacts him directly. So she wants to ask him the Shaila, you know, kind of in a vacuum. I want you to ask as a regular hoi polloi. So what happened? Amra, she says, is this a mifkid at Peri of Arivia? So she asked him a Shaila, is a woman chayeves in Peri of Arivia? Amar lo, lo. So Rabbi Chiya answered, which is the halacha, like Tanakama, no, woman is not chayeves in Peri of Arivia. What did she do? Azla Ashasya sama da'akarta. She drank a sterilizing potion. So she drank something that caused sterility. Okay, now we'll say, not our topic for today. We'll get into this again, really a little bit more Maseches Nida. There is a fascinating discussion in general about whether or not we'll call Sirus Isha. We know that a man is not permitted to go ahead and make himself sterile. So, for example, a man is not permitted to undergo a vasectomy. But the Shaila is a woman permitted, let's say, to have her tubes tied? We're not talking about for medical purposes. If it's dangerous for a woman to go, other things like that. But let's say a woman just decides, I've had enough children already. Is she permitted what we call Sirus Isha? So that's an interesting discussion, which we're not going to get into now. Now, just point out that Yehudis intentionally drank something that was going to prevent from having any more children. What happened? Lasof Igali Milsa. At the end of the day, Rabbi Chiya found out about what had happened, that his wife had now, you know, prevented herself from having any more children. Amar Lai said to her, Ichu yalarati chada kreisa achrisa. If only you would have given me another womb full of children. So I said, what does that mean, another womb full? I mean, if you would have said, if at least we could have had another child, what do you mean another womb full of children? Da'amar mar, Yehuda v'chizkiya achi, because as you just said before, Yehuda and Chizkiya, they were brothers. Achi upazi, excuse me, pazi v'tavi, top of Samach Vav, achosa. And apparently, Rabbi Chiya and Yehudis had two other children, girls, by the name of Pazi and Tavi, who were also twins. So apparently Yehudis had a history of giving birth for twins. So Rabbi Chiya said, if you only would have given me another wombful, another set of twins, how happy I would have been. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'lo mifkidi. Now the Gemara brings this story, obviously, for what purpose? To bolster the fact that women are not chayavos in Piri of Arivia. They're not chayavos in procreation. So is that true v'lo mifkidi? V'amravacha barav kitana amrab Yitzchak. Ma'ase be'isha achos. There was once a situation of a particular woman, shechetzia shifcha v'chetzia bas chorin, who was half shifcha, half maidservant, and half free woman. And what happened? V'kafu es rabba v'asau bas chorin. They forced her master, meaning I will say, so remember we spoke about this before, how does a woman become a half eved, half ben chorin? She's owned by two people. And one person goes in and emancipates his chelik. So now the other part still remains. The other adon still retains his ownership portion. That's chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin. So the Gemara says over here, they forced the master to emancipate the remaining part. Now, why did they do that? Now, the Gemara's assumption is they did that. If you look at Rashi, v'asal bas chorin, k'dei shetei muteres li nasei. Now, the assumption of the Gemara as to why they did that was to enable her to marry. Because, l'mais again, remember, as a chatzi shifcha, chatzi bas chorin, she can't really marry anyone. She can't marry an eved because of her half bas chorin status. She can't marry a regular Jewish male because of what? Because of her half shifcha status. So the assumption is that they were freeing her in order to enable her to marry. Why are they enabling her to marry? The assumption is what? Because she is mitzvah, she's commanded in Pir Verivia. So you see from here, this is an anecdotal proof, but you see from this episode that a woman is chayavis in Pir Verivia, to which the Gemara says, Amrav Nachar Bar Yitzchak, no, that's a different case. Minog Hefker Nahaguba. I will say, in that case, there was an issue of promiscuity. Rashi says, Minog Hefker Nahaguba, Lefishalo Haise Yechola Linase, because she was unable to marry, Haise Mafkeres Atzma, Vichotimba, Lefichach Kafu Esra Balashach Rabosa. In this case, it was a promiscuity issue. Because she could not marry, because she was in this bind that she could not marry, there was promiscuous behavior going on. So the Gemara almost says, like, as a matter of, benefit to society, they went ahead and they emancipated her in order that she could affect a normal marital relationship. But it's not because of period of Arivia. It was to stem the promiscuity. So we'll say, Haloch, Lamaisa, how do we paskin? So we pass like the Tanakama in the Mishnah that a man is mitzvah on period of Arivia. A man is obligated in procreation. A woman is not. Now there's an interesting discussion that we'll get to in Ksuvis. That maybe is a woman michuyeves in Sheves. Remember, Piri Verivia is a very specific mitzvah, right? How does one fulfill the mitzvah of Piri Verivia? How do we paskin? Like Beis Hillel, one boy and one girl. So it could very well be that even if women are not michuyavos in Piri Verivia, perhaps they're michuyavos in Sheves. Sheves, remember, is the mitzvah of generally populating the world. Right, just having children, what gender, how many, how little is irrelevant, just general population. So we'll see that when we get to Ksuvas, but at least for our purposes now, a man is mechuyav in Pirei Verivia, a woman is not. Hadron Aloch, haba al yivimto. Amona le Kohen Gadol. So we're going back now to Kohanim a little bit. So if an Amona marries a Kohen Gadol, illegal marriage, Grusha vechalutza le Kohen Hedyot, or a divorcee or a chalutza marries a kohen hedyot, illegal marriage. So in this case, I will say, this is very interesting, we're going to get into property issues. Hechnisa lo avdei melog va'avdei tzon barzel. So I will say, let's talk about this just for a little bit. When a woman comes into a marriage, there are two different types of property she could bring in. She could bring in what's called nichsei tzon barzel. Now, literally, it's called, property like the iron sheep. Now, we'll see, it has nothing to do with sheep. Sheep is just... an example of a type of property. But she could bring in Nichsei Tzon Barzel and Nichsei Malog. What's the difference between them? So Nichsei Tzon Barzel is like this. So let's say she's bringing in X items of Tzon Barzel, whatever the property is. Husband guarantees the value of those items, which means that upon death or divorce, either the husband or the estate will pay the wife for the exact valuation of those items at the time they get married. So whether the items appreciated or depreciated, whether the items are intact or are in existence or not in existence, the husband or the estate are chayiv for the amount of the property she brought in. As opposed to nichsei malug. Nichsei malug is the more common example of marital property. A woman goes in and brings in an orchard. So what does nichsei malug mean? Husband gets, they call it usufruct, right? Is that the right way to say it?
I used to say Paris.
Oh, psh. Wow. Wow, I feel like mission accomplished, right? I should retire now. That was good. So in the Welt, they say Paris, but the idea is husband gets usage rights, right? Husband gets the Paris, he gets the ability to use the orchard. He's entitled to the actual physical Paris, physical produce, which means he could sell it. He could sell it, he could do whatever he wants, but wife retains title. So at the end of, for example, husband could sell, let's say if it's an apple orchard, I could sell the apples. I can't sell the orchard. Upon death or divorce of the husband, so the wife gets the orchard back in whatever state it's in, so whether it's appreciated or depreciated, she gets back her items. So therefore, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, it's actually an interesting Rashi. Rashi says, Rashi says, Masha isha machneses labayla, that's which a woman brings into a marriage for her husband, v'shamalo l'kabo malav bachrayos, and he evaluated the property and he accepted responsibility over them. And Abbas, you write this in the Ksuva. It's very interesting because when you hear these words now, you'll know what they're talking about. The Nedunya, Dan Halas Le Mibeavua, we normally say. We talk about the Nedunya, the property that she brings in from her father's home. That normally refers to Nichsei Tzon Barzel. Vehu Mosif Kenegdon, the Kosef, and he normally adds on a little bit as well. The Kosef Sacha called Kibel Alav Ploni Kach Vekach Bechsuvasa, Korin Tzon Barzel. So we'll say that's called Tzon Barzel. Property that she's normally bringing in from her father's home, that the husband agrees to go ahead and evaluate at a certain level and secure that amount for her. However, there's also the Yishamach Nesen Mamon Harbe, the Eino Kosev is Kula B'Ksuva. So there's other times where a woman brings in a lot of money or a lot of property, and it's not written in the Ksuva. U'Mishayar is La'atzma, but she retains title. The Hain Nichse Melug, the Habal Ochel Peros. So that's Nichse Melug. In those situations, the husband eats literally the fruit, the Peros, the Keren Shalab. But the Karen, the principal is hers. Fine. So now let's go back to the Mishnah. So now you know the two models of property. Now watch this. I will say, let's say the property that she's bringing in is Avodim. Now you could have slaves that are tzon barzel, meaning slaves that the husband has undertaken upon himself. Because remember, both sides, the designation of being tzon barzel or being nichse malug is not related to the item. What is it related to? What is it related to? It's related to how the husband and wife choose to designate them. So you could have servants, and you could have some servants designated as Nichsei Tzon Barzel, and some servants designated as Nichsei Malug. So what happens? That must I follow this case. Woman is marrying a Kohen illegally, either an almana to a Kohen Gadol or Grusha Vechalutza to a Kohen Hedjot. And what happens? She's bringing in Avadim to the marriage. So I will say the Shaila of the Mishnah is going to be that what? Under normal circumstances, a Kohen is permitted to feed his Avadim. He's permitted to feed his Avadim what? Truma. So now the Shaila is, is he permitted to feed these Avadim Truma or not? So watch this. Did I not do it right? The mic. Okay, I'm sorry. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, so what happens? Zichnisa lo avdei malug de avdei tzon barzel, avdei malug lo yochelu b'truma. So the avdei malug cannot eat truma, avdei tzon barzel yochelu, but the avdei tzon barzel can. And I will say, why the distinction? Because as we said before, avdei malug belong to who? Belong to who? The wife. Therefore, because this is an illegal marriage, so those avadim cannot eat truma. Avdei tzon barzel belong to who? And I will say, this is a tricky one. Who do they belong to? So technically speaking, no, that's Malug. Avdei Tzon Barzel. So really, here's what's happening. Because he guarantees them, essentially what ends up happening is the object becomes his and he's on the hook for the value. So when she brings in Avdei Tzon Barzel, that really becomes his Eved, but he is now liable to her for the value of the Eved at the time of the marriage. So Avdei Malug would be her Avadim. Avdei Tzon Barzel would be his Avadim. Nafkamina, his Eved, could eat Truma. Her Eved cannot eat Truma. It's fascinating. However, Elohim Avdei Malug, And we'll see, by the way, why this was set up this way. What's an example? So how do you know something is avdei malug? For example, let's say the eved dies. So if the eved dies, who incurs the loss? So in avdei malug, the woman incurs the loss. But if avadim appreciate, then lemaisa what? They appreciate for her. So here's what's interesting. Even with avdei malug, where she retains the title, the husband still has the obligation to feed them, right? Because he has the obligation, because remember, that's the husband's obligation for the entire household, even in this illegal marriage. He just can't what? He has to feed them, but he can't feed them truma. What's the example of Tzom Barzel? Imesu mesulo. If they die, he incurs the loss. Vimosiro hosirolo. And if they appreciate, he gets the appreciation. Hoil vuchay bachriyusan hare ilu yochlu b'truma. And because essentially he is responsible for the avadim, i.e., essentially they're his, therefore they are permitted to eat truma. Bas Yisrael shenisayis lekohen. So I will say this is a legal case. Let's say a regular Jewish woman, a Bas Yisrael, marries a kohen. Vichnisa lo avadim, and she brings avadim into the marriage. Bein avdei malug, bein avdei tzon barzel. Hare elu yochelu. So again, whether those are avdei malug or avdei tzon barzel, they eat yochlu b'truma. Rabbi said, right? Because again, logically, why? Because even though anichs avdei malug, who owns them? Avdei malug, the wife, and even though avdei tzon barzel, who owns them? Husband is responsible to sustain the entire household, but it's okay. He could give the avdei malug truma also. Why? Why? Because it's a legal marriage. It's a legal marriage. Remember again, Abosa, as we will see, there is no problem. A Kohen is allowed to give Truma to his Avadim. The only issue over here is in the Avdei Malug case in the previous situation, or the Avdei Malug in the previous case, because the marriage is illegal, therefore, again, he can't give her Avadim Truma. But in a regular case of marriage to a Kohen, he could give Avdei Malug and Avdei Tzom Barzel Truma. So the Gemara says, Bas Kohen, Shenises Li Yisrael, but I will say the converse. Let's say a Bas Kohen, daughter of a Kohen, marries Yisrael, Vichniso Lo Avadim, and she brought Avadim into the marriage, Bein Avdei Malug, Bein Avdei Tzom Barzal, whether they are Avdei Malug and Avdei Tzom Barzal, Hare Elu Lo Yochlu B'Truma. They may not go ahead and eat Truma. Now, I will say, how would they be eating Truma if she's marrying a Yisrael? So look at Rashi. Basi so shenis es lekohen. I'm sorry, wrong Rashi. So I'll say the answer to that is because remember, she technically speaking has access to Truma from where? From her father's home. Now granted, while she's married, she may not go ahead and eat that Truma. She's married to Yisrael. And what the Mishnah is essentially saying is she may not go ahead and her Avadim may not eat Truma from her father's home either. Now why the Mishnah needs to state what appears to be an obvious halacha, we'll see in the Gemara. Okay, says the Gemara. V'avdei malug lo yochlu b'truma amai. So we'll say, listen to this. So now, what we've established from this Mishnah is the following. If there is an illegal marriage between a woman and a kohen, right, either it's an amana to a kohen gadol, or grusha v'chalutza to a kohen, hedjor, a divorcee, or a woman who had chalitza to a regular kohen, so the halacha is like this. And she's bringing avadim into the marriage. So the question the Mishnah deals with is, are these avadim allowed to eat the husband's truma? And the answer is, it depends. Avdei malug, Avdei tzom barzel, which essentially are whose property? Husband's property, because again, remember, he guarantees the value, which essentially gives him ownership over the object. So avdei tzom barzel, which are his, kari truma, right? Avdei malug, on the other hand, to which she retains title and are hers, he just gets usage, although normally, as though he's still obligated to support that eved, he's still obligated to feed that eved, he may not feed that eved truma. So the Gemara says, why? I don't understand what the issue is. Amai, lehavu ki kinyano shekana kinyan. Why should they be any different than the case of, you, listen to this, kinyano shekana kinyan means something that you own that acquired something else. We'll define what that means in just a moment. So the Gemara says, Amai lehavi ki kinyano shekana kinyan, disanya, minayin lekoin shenasa isha v'kana avadim shayochlu b'tshuma. Rabbi will say, how do we know in a normal situation? In a normal situation, that if a man married a woman, right, or for that matter, Rashi changes this to O kana la'adim, or kana avadim, or he acquired servants, how do I know that they eat truma? In general, again, I will say, how do I know that if a kohen marries a... Meaning, what the Gemara is saying is, maybe only kohanim eat truma. And maybe even if a kohen marries a bas Yisrael, what does she eat? What does she eat? Chulin. whatever. Who says that she eats truma? And furthermore, again, who says that if he acquires an eved, who says that that eved eats truma? To which the Gemara says, Shene emar the kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yochal bo. As the pasuk says, when the kohen will go ahead and literally acquire a nefesh through kasef, who the acquisition shall eat truma. But I will say again, now what does that cover? So again, it's gonna say that covers both avadim and a wife. And I will say, now be very careful how you repeat that statement. Right? Now remember again why? Because both a woman and an eved are called kinyan kaspo, because both relationships are affected through money. Right? That ultimately again through kiddushin, although kiddushin through could be affected through other means as well, but both the eved and the ishar, that relationship is affected through money. They're both called kinyan kaspo. Therefore the Torah says anyone who's your kinyan kasev is permitted to go and eat truma. Oh, so that's number one. So now we've just established that a wife or an eved can eat truma. Good. Uminayim le'isha shekansa avadim. How do I know? Let's say I'm a kohen and my wife acquires servants, or for that matter, avadav shekanu avadim, or for that matter, again, I've also listened to this, my servants acquire servants, right? Now remember, we saw this case? Remember, where do we see this? We just had this about 4 days ago. Remember who was a servant? Example of a servant who had servants? Tziva. Remember Tziva? Excellent. Tziva, the Eved of Shaul, himself had 20 servants. So why do I know that if my wife acquires servants, or for that matter, my servant acquires servants, sheyochlu b'truma, that Rabbo say my wife's servants and my servant's servants could acquire truma? Rabbo say the common denominator in these cases, these are both people, my wife's servants and my servant's servants, are acquisitions of people that I have, quote unquote, acquired. So how do I know that even they're permitted to eat truma? Shene emar, because the pasuk says, v'kohen kiyikna nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yochal bo kinyana shekana kinyan ochal. The Rabbi will say the Gemara darshins from this that kohen kiyikna nefesh kinyan kaspo, the lashon of kinyan is used twice. So the lashon of kinyan being used twice teaches me that what? That kinyano shekana, that someone that I acquired who has subsequently acquired is permitted to what? Is permitted to go ahead and eat truma. So we'll say, look at Rashi, the coin ki yikne kinyan kaspo, kinyan kaspo krai seira. That last phrase, kinyan kaspo, is an extra phrase. V'dashinan de la hachi asa, v'hachi mashma, coin ki yikne kinyan kaspo, nefesh sha'avdo yikne evetu. So we'll say, so lemaisa again, why don't you say that therefore again, even if she brings in nichsei malug, avdei malug, they should still go ahead and what? Be able to eat truma. Why? Because those are the avadim of my wife. The avadim of my wife, or we'll say even in an illegal marriage, remember how we paskin that kiddushin tovsin b'chayvei lavin. So when the Kohen Gadol marries an almana, what is the halachic status of that marriage? Right? It's a valid marriage, although it is illegal. You're not allowed to be in it, but the kiddushin itself works. Well, if that's the case, then when my wife has avadim, i.e. avdei malug, then what? Then what? Those are considered to be the acquisitions of my acquisition, and therefore what? Therefore what? They should be permitted to eat truma. Why does the Mishnah paskin that avdei malug can't eat truma? To which the Gemara says, kala ochel ma'achil, because anyone essentially who enables someone else to eat can eat. Kol she'in ochel ino ma'achil. Rabbi say, when do we say that lemaisa, the acquisition of my acquisition, could go ahead and eat truma? That's only when what? When that first acquisition is permitted to eat truma. Rabbi say, in other words, the Gemara saying over here is counterintuitive to say that because the avadim are the acquisition of my wife, and my wife is my acquisition, that lemaisa the avadim should be able to eat. For one simple reason, what's the hole in that argument? The woman herself can't eat. Remember, in this case of the almana marrying the kohen gadol, she can't eat. So when do we say that the kinyan of my kinyan could eat truma? That's when the first kinyan could eat. But in this case, the first kinyan, i.e. the wife, can't eat. Therefore, if she can't eat, she certainly can't what? She certainly can't enable anyone else to eat either. So is that true? V'lo v'hari orel. Listen to this. Somebody asked this yesterday, or some variation of this case. Yes, you have an orel, right? You have a kohen who is uncircumcised. So what is the halacha of an uncircumcised kohen? An uncircumcised kohen may not go ahead and eat truma. can't eat chuma. Now both say that's chuma. Now you'll say, when are you going to have a case of an uncircumcised kohen? We'll say this goes back to yesterday's daf, right? Our mesu case of mesu achav machamas mila chazaka was established. Family are hemophiliacs. He's still a kohen, but he's uncircumcised. He can't eat chuma. It's interesting. He can't eat chuma. So we'll say, but here's what's fascinating. He can't eat chuma, but guess who can eat chuma? Guess who can? His wife and his avodim. So what do you see? Or for that matter, again, a kohen is tameh. So a kohen is tameh. When he's tameh, he can't eat truma, but his wife, his avadim, can eat truma. So what do you see from there? That you yourself don't have to be able to eat in order what? In order to what? In order to enable someone else to eat. So we're right back to our same question. So even if you want to say that if the kohen gadol marries the amana wife can't eat, that doesn't automatically preclude her avadim from eating. Because you see, even if the kohen himself can't eat, people who are acquired by him still can eat. To which the Gemara says, that's not a good raya. Hasam pumayu koyev luhu. In that case, literally, their mouth hurts them. Meaning, I will say, in that situation of the oral and the person who's tameh, there's a very specific state that, technically speaking, can be remedied. And once it's remedied, technically, they could go ahead and eat truma. So it's like someone who has my teeth hurt me, so I can't eat. So we wouldn't say, if my teeth hurt me and I can't eat, that therefore, again, my avadim and my wife can't eat. There's a physical reality right now that I have to take care of. So too, again, if somebody's tameh or somebody's in oral, it's just that there's an issue now that's precluding them, but technically speaking, they are still called in the parasha of Ochle Truma, and therefore they can enable others to eat. So you might as well give you another example. Vahari Mamzer. What about the case of the Mamzer? She'ein Ochelu Ma'achil. Now the Mamzer can't eat, but yet would allow someone else to eat. Now both say, now this is a very specific case. If you look at Rashi for just a moment over here, Vahari Mamzer, Basi Swal Shanisis Lakoin. I'm going to tell you this outside. A Basi Swal marries a coin. Basi Swal marries a coin. So we'll call it, you know, Ruvain's a coin, marries Leah. What happened? Rachel. What happens? They have a daughter. Their daughter is Leah. Leah marries a Mamzer. Leah marries a Mamzer. It's not like a description of your son-in-law. Meaning it's saying like she marries a Mamzer. Right? He's serious, like a halachic Mamzer, not just like a behavioral Mamzer. Right? So what happens? So he goes that she marries, so now this Kohanic daughter marries a Mamzer. She has a son with this Mamzer. That child, of course, is a Mamzer. Now what happens? Ruvain, father Cohen, dies. Mamzer husband and his wife die, and all that is left is grandmother with grandson Mamzer. Now, both said the halacha is that if when a husband dies, a woman doesn't have necessarily automatic entitlement to truma anymore. When her Kohanic husband dies, the only way she does have entitlement to truma is if she has Kohanic offspring, and grandchildren count as Kohanic offspring as well. Now, in this situation, she has one grandchild, but what is that grandchild? That grandchild is a mamzer. But the Gemara says over here, without getting into this whole sugi, we'll get into it later on, that child constitutes Kohanic offspring, even though that child is a mamzer. Now, we'll say, here's something fascinating. So now, that child will enable the bubba, will enable the grandmother to go ahead and eat truma, even though what? That granddaughter herself will what? That grandchild mamzer cannot eat truma. So here you have a situation where what? The mamzer grandchild will enable the grandmother to eat truma, even though the mamzer grandchild, him or herself, cannot eat truma. So all the Gemara is trying to prove over here is that there, because the Gemara like espoused the principle, and the principle was that in order to enable someone else to eat truma, you yourself have to be able to eat it. And we're saying clearly from here, it's not true. For a mamzer, she'ein ochel, the mamzer herself, the grandchild, cannot eat, yet umachil, she enables the grandmother to eat. Amar Ravina, kinyan ochel. Kinyan ochel ka'amar. What do we mean over here? A kinyan ochel, meaning I will say that when someone who has acquired themselves is able to eat, ka'amar. Kinyan ochel ma'achil, she'ino ochel ino ma'achil. So let's rephrase. What we mean to say is like this. It's only when the acquired party, when the kinyan, the person himself or herself who is acquired, is able to eat, then they enable someone else to eat. But if they themselves can't eat, then lamais, again, they won't enable someone else to eat. So that's the first answer the Gemara wants to give. So the Gemara sticks with that answer. That the reason why Nichsei Mulug property, the reason why Nichsei Mulug Avadim can't eat in the case of the Mishnah, is since the woman herself can't eat, therefore the Maisa, her acquisitions can't eat as well. Now, that hasn't told us why yet. We'll get to the why. Rava said, no, I'll tell you it's a different reason. Mid Oraisa Mecha Achli. In reality, the Avadim of the Almana, who married the Kohen Gadol, the Avdi Mulug, should be able to eat truma. So what's the issue here? So why can't they eat truma? The rabbi said they can't. Listen to this, it's amazing. For Rabbanon who the gazibu, it's the rabbis who are gozer, because the rabbi said the following. Kadesha Tomar, they wanted, remember, their goal, the rabbi's goal over here, is to dissolve this marriage. What's the best way to dissolve this marriage? Watch this. So what's the wife going to say? Kadesha Tomar, ani eini ochelas. I, the widow, I'm not allowed to eat truma. Avodai ain't an ochlin. My servants aren't permitted to eat truma. Zona he etzlo. I guess they think I'm a zona. What's that? In other words, that is a very alienating reality that this woman is not going to be able to eat truma. She can't eat truma. Her avodim eat truma, which causes her to think about what? Which goes to think about the nature of her marriage. And hopefully, again, this degree of alienation will force them to divorce. Now, both say, understand something. So you'll say to yourself, well, 1 second. If the Kohen Gadol is already marrying an almana, which is illegal, maybe he'll just give her truma. And what's the answer to that? The answer to that is no. Because remember, both say, what's the penalty for a non-Kohen eating truma is what? Is what? Intentionally is death. Unintentionally, ultimately, again, is a severe financial penalty. So just because someone's engaging in an illegal marriage does not automatically mean that, I guarantee you, that Kohen is not giving his wife truma. Truma carries it a very stiff penalty. So essentially what we say is, technically, the Avdei Malug should be able to eat truma. Why? Because they are the acquisition of the Kohen's acquisition. But yet, again, v'yet lemaisa. Lemaisa, in order to alienate the woman from her husband, to force the dissolution of this marriage, we try to make her feel on the periphery. She can't eat, her avadim can't eat, so she's going to say, what am I, a zona? So the Gemara says the following. Therefore, again, hilchach asi la'afuka, hilas will cause them to divorce. Ravashi says there's another reason. Gezerah shematocha la'achar misa. The concern over here is that if we allow the avadim to go ahead, avdei malog, to eat truma, that they may continue to eat truma even after the death of the husband, which of course, Rabbi say is not permitted. Elame ata basis, meaning even if you accept the fact that they're permitted to eat truma while the husband is alive, that's because they're called his acquisition. But when the husband is, or the acquisition of his acquisition, when the husband is dead, they certainly can't eat. So the concern is if we allow them to start eating now, they may come to continue even after he dies. But if that's the case, elame ata basis oshnisi sekoin lo tochel. But why don't you say the same thing over here then? In a regular case of a basi Yisrael who goes ahead and marries a Kohen, that so too you should not feed her Avdei Malug Truma. Why? Out of concern that maybe they'll continue to feed them Truma even after the husband dies. To which the Gemara says, Gzeira Shematochil La'achar Misa. Why don't you say the same thing over here? That even a regular legal marriage, that Avdei Malug should not be able to eat, lest you come to continue to feed them Truma even after the husband dies. Ela Amar Ravashi, rather Ravashi says, what's the case over here? Ba'amana Kohenes Da'asya La'aruyeh. Because in this case over here, we could be dealing with a situation of a widow. Meaning, what's the case of the Amana who is marrying the Kohen Gadol? It's a case of an Amana Kohenes. An Amana herself, who is the descendant of a Kohanic family. Da'asya La'aruyeh, because she could just justify her behavior. How could she justify her behavior? Meikara achli betruma debe nasha. In the beginning, I used to eat the truma of my father's home. In sabile lahai achli betruma de gavri. And once I got married, I was going ahead and eating the truma of this particular kohen. Vahashta hadri the milsei kamaisa. And what? And now, once my husband dies, my avadim could simply go ahead and go back and eat the truma once again of my father's home. But she's mistaken. Why? V'lo yada d'me'ikar lo shavisi l'nafsha halala. In the beginning, when she was eating of her father's home, that's because she wasn't a halala. Now that she married a Kohen Gadol, she was an almana, then what? Hashta shavisa l'nafsha halala. Therefore, now at this point, as she married the Kohen Gadol, she's a halala. Because she's a halala, therefore what? She can't go back to her father's home and eat truma once again. So teinach almana kohenes. So that makes sense in a case where the almana is dafka of a Kohanic family herself. However, again, Amana basi shama ikel meimar, but what will you say in the case of a regular amana? That logic doesn't apply. To which the Gemara says, but amanus alo pligi. Chazal did not distinguish between amanas. So we made one blanket halacha that would cover all categories of amana. So the Gemara says the following. Itmar, hamichanesa shum lebaila. Both say, this is a very interesting case. Let's say a woman brings in a shum. They both say, shum is an evaluation, meaning that what happens, that she brought into the marriage an itemized list, essentially, of her nichsei tzom barzel, right? Again, which I will say was not uncommon at all. I'm sorry?
For women to have lists.
For women to have lists, yeah. That was Moshe Abramson. Right. So now, yeah, good luck, my friend. All right, so now, so... So what? You can sleep over. So what happens? So now she's bringing in a list of itemized property with specific valuations. So that's her Tzon Barzel. When her husband marries her, he accepts to guarantee the value of those items. So now what's going to happen? Now upon death or divorce, so he has to pay her the value. So what's happening in this case? So in this case over here, they're getting divorced. She comes back with her itemized list and she says the following. V'hi omeres kli aninoteles, v'hu omer damim aninos. In hadinim yos. So listen to this machlokes. So let's say again, she comes back and she says, you know, I brought in the china, right? This was my family's heirloom china, service for 16. It's valued at $10,000, right? It's very fancy china. So she says, listen, I want the china back. He says, no, I'm not giving you the china. I'll give you $10,000. I'll give you the value of it. But I am keeping the china. Now, Rabosai, in this case over here, the object itself is in existence. It's intact. So the Gemara asks, it's a fascinating question, no? So hadin and me, who does the halacha follow? Does she have the right to get the item back? Or does he have the right to say, no, I guaranteed you the value, but the item itself is mine. All that's written into the ksuva is the object, and the valuation of the object is written in the ksuva. This is, this was the lashon of danidunya da'an halas lemi be'avua. So the property that you bring in from your father is evaluated at X, and I agree to give you that at the time of dissolution of marriage. So hadin imi, Rabbi Huda says, hadin amadez, hadin ima. Rabbi Huda says, the din is with her. Namely, that if the property exists, she has the right to demand the property back and not to find. I will say, remember, there are times where that could be advantageous for the husband, like where the property depreciated. Now, obviously, if the property up, now you ask yourself, why does the man need a servant's china for 16? Why does anyone need china? Right? Now, but the idea over here is, because remember, if it appreciated significantly, this is an asset, right? He wants it. He wants to hold on to it. So Rabbi Huda says, the halacha is with her, and if the object exists, she can get it back. Rabbi Ami says, no, hadin imo, the din is with him, he guaranteed the value, which means essentially the object is his, he's only on the hook for the value of the item itself. So the Gemara goes through this. Rabbi Huda says that the din is with her. Why? Listen to this, Rabbosai. Mishum shevach beis avia didahavi. Because Rabbosai, remember, generally, when a woman was bringing in nichsei tzon barzel, where was that property from? That was from her father's home. That property very often represents what she has from her father's home. That's the lashon. Dinadunya dan halas lemi be'avuha. This is what she's bringing from her father's home. So this property has significant value, not just monetary value for her, but it represents, again, a sentimental value. It's her family's property. Therefore, says Rabbi Huda, if it exists, you have to give it to her. Rabbi Ami says, no, adinimo. Kevan da'amar mar im mesu mesu lo, vimo siro siru lo, hoil v'chaye b'achariyu, son. Yochlu. So Rabbosai, listen to this. Rabbi Ami says, no, it's not true. Because since the husband bears responsibility for that, meaning Rabbosai, all is fine and dandy if they maintain their value. Or what? Or they appreciate, thank you. But if they depreciate, the husband is left holding the bag. Because he holds an incredible amount of achrayis on this, therefore what? The objects are his. And therefore he's only liable for the financial, for the monetary amount of these objects. To which the Gemara says, Amar Safra. Mikatoni, Vehin Shalo, Hoy Vachai Barachisun Abosai. So Rabbi Ami's logic is that since he's responsible for the value of the object no matter what, therefore the object is his. So Rav Safra says, one second, does the Mishnah say, Vehin Shalo, Hoy Vachai Barachisun Katoni? Right? Does the Mishnah ever say, I'm sorry, let me read that differently. Amar Rav Safra, Mikatani Vehin Shalo. Does the Mishnah ever explicitly say that the Nichsei Tzon Barzel belong to the husband? It doesn't say that. All it says is Hoyil V'chayiv Ba'achra Yusan Katani. All it says is that he's responsible for them. Uli Olam Lav Didei Ninhu. But who says that that means that they're actually his? Meaning, who says that responsibility translates into ownership? So the Gemara asks about this. V'chol heichad chai b'achar yusam. So we'll say, now, first of all, you should just know, the way we paskin in this situation, this is in, again, when I can't do it because of time now, but in Evan HaEzer, Simen Pei Ches. It's Pei Ches or Pei Tes? Pei Ches. Sif Aleph Teshuchon Arach paskin is like Rabbi Huda. Namely, that if the Nichsei Tzon Barzel is in existence, in existence, and that's what the woman wants back. The husband must give her back that property. Why? Because shevach beisaviha. That represents something very special from her family. So the Gemara now says, now are you telling me that in any situation where a husband is responsible for the achrayus of an object, that object could eat truma? Now we'll say, now what does it mean, the object? Let's say the avadim. So is that telling me then that in avdei tzon barzel, where again, the husband is obligated to the wife for the value, and he's obligated, he bears responsibility if it goes up or goes down, that therefore they could eat truma. V'hatanan, we learned, Yisrael shesachar par mikohen, if Yisrael rents a par, rents a cow from a kohen, harei zeh yochileno kashini truma. You could go ahead and you could feed the animal. Rabbi said, kashine is vetch. It's a type of legume. It's right. So it was animal feed. So you could go ahead and you could give the animal truma, animal feed. However, kohen shesachar para mi Yisrael. But if a kohen rents a cow from Yisrael, afa pisha mizenosah alav, even though again the renter is obligated to feed the animal, lo yachileno kashine truma. The kohen may not feed the animal truma food. Rabbi said, truma, animal feed. Rabbi said, now what does that show you? Now remember again, in a case of a rental, who's responsible for things? Case of a rental, right? The renter is responsible. Yet, what do we see over here? That clearly the fact that if I go ahead and I rent an animal from a kohen, that I could feed that animal truma animal feed, which says that even though I'm responsible, it's still the property of the kohen. So what do you see from here? That responsibility does not translate into what? Does not translate into ownership. Responsibility does not equal ownership. V'tizbara nehi nami d'mechayi b'gneva v'aveda, but that's not really a good example, because even though as the renter I am chayiv for certain things, for example, if the animal is stolen or the animal is lost, ba'onsei, extenuating circumstances, b'kachasha, the animal comes weaker, b'nifchas dameha, the value goes down, mi mechayiv, and would I be responsible for that? Meaning, what the Gemara is saying over here is that's not really a good case, because even though as a renter I am responsible for many things, I don't have absolute responsibility. So of course everyone will agree that if I don't bear absolute responsibility, that certainly is not, that certainly doesn't translate into what? Certainly doesn't translate into ownership. Rather, halodami el seifa. Rather, our Mishnah is only comparable to the case of the seifa. What's the seifa? Yisrael shesham para mikoein. Lo yachilenu kashinet shomer. I will say, let's say in this case over here the following. Let's say when I borrowed the par, I valuated it. So I said, I'm borrowing a cow that's worth $1,000. Now, why would I do that? Because that means that in the event that by the time I return it, this par depreciates, who bears the responsibility for depreciation? The borrower. So in that case over here, she saw shasham para mikoin lo yachilenu kashinet shomer. In that case, I may not feed that animal, that cow, Kohanic animal feed. However, Val Kohen Shasham Parami Yisra, but I will say in the reverse case, where the Kohen borrows this, we'll call it this valuation borrowing from Yisrael, Yochilenu Kashine Chumar. I will say, now what does that mean? That means over here in this case of borrowing, because I've accepted the full responsibility for what? For what? For any change in valuation of the animal, in that case, responsibility equals ownership. Because of that, again, if the kohen borrows the animal, he could feed it, ultimately, again, kohanic animal feed, truma animal feed. But if the Yisrael borrows it, so that's comparable to the case of the Mishnah. So in the case of the Mishnah, when you have avdei tzon barzel, who bears ultimate responsibility for those avadim? The husband, and therefore the maisa, they're considered to be like his. Yosef Rava v'Rav Yosef, b'shili pirkei de Rav Nachman. So Rabba and Rav Yosef were sitting at the shir of Nachman, and the shir was winding down. The Yosef v'Ka'amri, and they were singing, they said the following, Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Yehuda, V'Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Ami. We have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yehuda, a brisa that supports Rabbi Ami. Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Ami. We have a brisa that supports Rabbi Ami. Avdei Tzon Barzel, Yotzin B'Shein V'Ayin Le'ish, Avalo Lisha. Now this is very interesting. The halacha is like this, if you have an Eved Kanani, an Eved Kanani goes free if the master knocks out an eye, or the master knocks out a tooth, then these avadim go free. So I'll say the halacha is like this, that if you have avdei tzon barzel, they go out b'shein v'ayin if the man knocks it out, however, not the isha. I will say, what does that show you? That the man is the owner of the avdei tzon barzel, right? And they will say that would be a support of that would be a support in Rabbi Ami. Because Rabbi Ami is the one who says that if upon divorce the wife demands the Tzom Barzel property back, and the husband doesn't want to give it, he has the right to hold on to that property itself and to go ahead and give her the value. Tanya Kavasit Rav Yehuda, there's a price that's about Rav Yehuda. HaMechaneses Shum Lebala, if ultimately, again, if a woman brings in evaluated property into her marriage, Nichsei Tzom Barzel, Imratza Baal Limkar Lo Yimkar, if the husband wants to sell it, he can't sell it. Velo Oud, for Gernobos, like, he can't sell it. Why? Because Lamaisa, the wife, still has a technical claim against it. Velo Oud, Ela Afilu Hichnis La Shum Mishalo, Imratza Baal Limkar Lo Yimkar. It's actually very interesting. And even if she brought in for him other evaluated property, again, we'll define this case in tomorrow's Daf Emiratza Hashem, but if she brings in other evaluated property, this is in Imhich, I'm sorry, I lost the place. Limkar. And Lo'od, Ela Afilu Hechnis Lo Shum Mishalo. We'll say, if he bought certain property for her, he bought property for her, Imratza Baal Limkar Lo Yimkar, so again, remember, we'll say, this is property he's bringing into the marriage, but he brought it in for her, he's not permitted to sell it. Machru Shnehem Leparnasa. But if either of them decide to go ahead and sell it for sustenance, Zeh Hayamais Lefin Reb Shem Gamliel, this was an episode that came before Reb Shem Gamliel, Va'amar Habal Motzi Miad Alekuchos, and we said in that case that the husband would have the ability to go ahead and take this away from any of the purchases. Rashi says, Habal Motzi, Lomi Bay Dim Macher Hu Belo Daito O Meis O Gersha, Dehi Motzi Miad Alekuchos, El Afila Meisahi, Hu Motzi Miad Alekuchos, De Mechira Lav Mechira Havoi. So at the end of the day, what this price is teaching us is what? Is that this type of property that ultimately, again, was brought in for the sake of the woman in some way, shape, or form, neither one is permitted to sell it in totality over the course of the marriage, which indicates to us what? That Lamais, again, she retains title, some level of title, over this property as well, which would be a support to Rav Yehuda, who says that Lamaisa, upon divorce, she has the right to demand the property itself back. I will say, we'll stop over here. We're stopping a little bit in the middle of the sugya, but we'll pick up with Machlokes Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Ami Emir Tz Hashem tomorrow. Regular time in Mirza Hashem, yes.